Something about Yerushalayim.
Right.
But Nathan's dream, and he's everything. Okay. I've been informed that.
Okay, Shabbat, everybody, welcome.
You have a typical,
We don't need a best good. We have one, but I figured if you don't notice that, no.
So first I want to thank Rabbi Dr. Hansen and Rabbi Fassi and all these Tzlaken Shalom for hosting the event tonight. I'm sure most of you know Rabbi Liteg. He was my teacher in Gush Etzion almost 20 years ago, and we learned so much from him, and we've stayed in contact throughout the years. He speaks all around the world to many communities. He also is one of the pioneers of internet learning. He put his sheets on very early on, but before there was even a web, he was sending out his sheets, and they remain one of the pillars of online Torah learning. So it's really our honor that you're able to make it here tonight. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. The topic I picked tonight, I'll explain the title. How Chumash explains the Siddur, and how Siddur explains the Chumash. When we're in Shul, we always have two books in front of us, Siddur and the Chumash. And if you want to see how they're related, in a nutshell, in this book, Hashem talks to us. In this book, we talk to Hashem. But if you want to understand how we talk to Hashem, you have to understand how Hashem talks to us. And Tanakh is basically Tehillim, and this is Torah. And two people will talk about Tehillim soon. When you ask the average person, we daven every day, how would you translate davening into English? We come and pray. The point I want to cross tonight is when you look at the Siddur, and what we do when we come to Shul, prayer is very little of it is prayer in the sense of petition. Very few places in the Siddur are we asking for our needs. Correct? Bechot HaShachar. Are we asking for our needs? We're making statements about our relationship with God. Sukkei Dezimra. Are we asking for our needs? Not at all. It's like, that's right. That's Tefillah. That's why I asked the question. Is that it's prayer? It's not prayer in the classic sense. The average person thinks you go to church or to shul, whatever it is, and you pray to God. And what do people pray to God for? For health, for standard things. And then you'll hopefully place your bet. Maybe you'll say yes, maybe you'll say no. Can't hurt to try. The worst is worse, not. The average view of coming to shul is it's a place of prayer, and you pray for your needs. What I want to show you is our service, when we daven in shul, Tefillah B'Tzibur, and most of our Siddur is not about petition. It's not about praying for our needs. Instead, to sort of organize what we're going to talk about, I want to divide it into three P's. P's, or use the English. P number one, I'll call praise. P number two, we're going to call Pledge of Allegiance. We'll explain why later. And P number three, we're going to call petition. What sections of davening are those? There's three key sections in the Siddur. In Tefillah Shacharit. What's the first section? Sukkei Dezimra. Which P is that?
Praise.
That's obvious, right? Sukkei Dezimra is not petition. It's praise. Baruch Shamar, Baruch Shmok, Yishtabach Shimcha. Hallelujah. It's all about praise in Hashem. That's the main topic. What we have to understand in the Shir tonight is how we have, the reason why we do this praise, how that all stems from Chumash. Which section is petition? I work backwards. What do we ask for our needs?
Amidah
and Tachanun. Pretty much as we ask for our needs, or ask the God should answer our prayers. Yeah?
Amidah
seems to be communion. Yeah. Even Amidah is not personal prayer. Even Amidah is for love, but at least it's prayer. Yeah. It's prayer on behalf of the community. The middle section, what section am I referring to as Pledge of Allegiance? Yeah, that's Shema Yisrael, or what Chazal call it's Shema and the Brachot, before and after. Okay, I want to begin with that because I think that's the most important, because I'll explain the other two. When we teach our children, a lot of times everyone knows that every Jew has to say Shema twice a day. We grew up with that. Shema Yisrael is the, if there's one pasuk of Am Yisrael, in everywhere, in good and bad, Shema Yisrael is, if you had to pick the pasuk of Am Yisrael, it would probably be Shema Yisrael. I'm assuming. It would definitely be a candidate. Also, we learned that what is Shema Yisrael? It's a statement of monotheism. Have you ever heard that? When you say Shema, what are you attesting to? You're stating your belief that I believe that there's one God. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's not how the rabbis understand Shema. Yeah. It's Kabbalat O Mahut Shemaim, which means accepting the yoke of heaven. What is a yoke? A yoke is something the farmer puts on an animal to plow the field. You have an ox, you want to plow the field. The ox is working for the farmer, but in order to enable for the farmer to use the ox, you need a yoke. And the animal, the ox, has to accept the yoke and lead the plow and let the farmer use them as he needs. In that sense, Am Yisrael is chosen to serve God. When you declare Shema Yisrael, I call it, it's more of a call to action than a pledge, than a statement of faith. It's a pledge of allegiance. But what are you saying? Hashem, who is our God, who is He? He's the one and only God. Now, if you look carefully, is that one statement or two when we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Is that one statement or two statements? Two. What's the first statement?
He's our God.
He's our God, right? And then what's the next statement? He's the only God. So what do the other nations have? He's not their God? Is Hashem the God of all mankind?
Yes.
What do we say in Rosh Hashanah? Of course. Hashem Echad means there's only one God. So then how can we say He's our God and no one else's God? When we say He's our God, it implies He's our God and no one else's.
No, this is the job of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
To go and declare that God is one. Our God that we recognize Him, we know who He is.
Our God that
we met Him, we know who He is.
Yeah.
We go already in the history, already we passed through many different miracles through Him. Yeah. Our job is to declare that He is one.
So I like to say, if Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem is our boss. You'll see why I say that in a minute. Yeah? Oh, exactly, yeah. So in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Devarim in Parakeh, how does it begin? Moshe tells the people, Shema Yisrael, Tachukim et Mishpatim, Asher Anochi Dabar Vez Nechem Ayom. Remember that one, or you have to look it up? You can look it up if you want. It's this speech in Parakeh. Everyone knows the speeches in Devarim. It's in the workbook in Devarim. So Parakeh, which is the big speech from Hedah Chavah, the big speech in Sefer Devarim, it begins with Shema Yisrael, Tachukim et Mishpatim, Asher Anochi Dabar Vez Nechem Ayom. Moshe says to me, well, listen to what I'm teaching you today. And what's the next pasuk? Hashem Elokeinu Kratim Anubik Pachorim. Hashem, our God, made a covenant with us at Chorim. But what was that covenant? Batem Tiulim, Amlechet Koni, Bebois Kadosh. Means, I chose you to serve me. So Hashem Elokeinu can also be understood not as our personal God and no one else's God, but the God we're working for. He's our boss. And what are we saying? Rashi adds a little shinah. He says this one statement. Hashem, who is our boss, who is He? He's the God of all mankind. It's recognizing, not only is stating your allegiance, that you're working for God, but the understanding, who's this God you're working for? My boss is the one and only God. It's not my team against their team. I'm employed. Well, I have a covenant. I have a covenantal commitment with God to serve Him. What? That's a statement of faith. That's yeah. But Kabbalat HaMalchut Shemayim is not saying I believe that there's only one God. It assumes that. But it's saying more than that. It's saying that one and only God is what I'm looking for.
So it's one thing. Hashem.
It's one statement. Yeah. Hashem. So okay. Look at Rashi. He has the number that Latif, who's our God now, will be the God one day of all mankind, which is basically Rosh Hashanah davening. What's my proof? Maseches Brachot tells us that there's two brachot we say before we say Shema. What's the logic? Before you do a mitzvah, before you do Netilat Lulav, or before you do Halakat Meirot, you make a bracha, don't we? A bracha before doing a mitzvah. Why do we do that? To make sure that the mitzvah we're doing, that there's a connection between our action and our head. The idea of Brachot HaMitzvot, so we know, so we can channel, understand what we're doing. What are the two Brachot we say before Shema? What's the topic of the first Bracha? What's the topic? Yitzar Or Bor Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvore Et Hakol, Chatima Yitzar Morot. Okay. What statement of Shema does that relate to? Which phrase? No, in the beginning. Shema Yisrael Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Explain. Yeah. What makes everything? I may think there's a sun god and a moon god and a rain god and a light god and a fertility god. Just read Tanakh and Bereshit. I may think that. What do we say? There's only one god. Before I say Hashem Echad, I have to explain what I mean. And what I want to show you, the two brachot prepare us before we pledge allegiance. The first bracha, if I'm looking for a statement of monotheism, it's Yotzer Hamorot. Understand what I'm getting at? If you look at the content of the bracha before we had Kaddish in the middle. Remember, in Rav Sadia Gaon Sidur, Yotzer Hamorot is a very short bracha, B'yachid. Only before they had the Kedusha. But the core bracha is Yotzer Or, B'chosh Hashem B'takol, and then the Baruch Nimotitenu, and Yotzer Hamorot. That bracha is about God. There's one God and one only God. He made everything. But that prepares you to say Hashem Echad.
Why limit it to the Me'arot? Because after there was creation, God the creator of all, why limit it to the Me'arot?
Of that? We do, we don't. It's over Shalom. Of that Shalom, over it, Hakol. Because the bracha is built on Perek Aleph and Bereshit. And it highlights the Me'arot.
No, but also
mentioned
the day and the night. If
they're
all.
Yeah, yeah. Because the main God is the sun God and the moon God. What's the second bracha about? It's not about Abba Olam. That's a patiach. What's the bracha about? What's the chatima? Habocheba mitra bahava. What did God do? God chose us to work for Him. And how do we know how to serve Him? Out of love, God didn't choose us because He needed someone to love. God chose us to work for Him. Why did He pick us over anybody else? Out of love. And out of love, God chose us to work for Him.
So why does the bracha should be opposite?
Oh, we'll see why in a minute. But first, the bracha is about bechira, about why we're chosen. And what do we talk about in that bracha? Not only that we're chosen, but how do we serve God? What's our guide for serving God? The Torah. And therefore we have bechat Torah inside. Yes and yes. it's two statements that make one. It's two statements that lead to one. The second bracha is about Hashem Elokeinu. He's our boss. But the second, Hashem Elokeinu is Anochi Hashem Elokech, Hashem Titicha. The first commandment that I'm your boss. I chose you. That's why I took you out of Egypt. Before I come and state that the God who I'm working for is the one and God of all mankind, first I have to understand who this God is. I'll go in the order of Chumash to answer your question. Why is the first bracha, following the order, Hashem Elokeinu Shekab before Hashem Echad? But if you follow the order of Chumash, I can't talk about pledging allegiance to a God until I know who that God is. We don't go to Harsinai until we come out of Egypt. What's the biblical goal of coming out of Egypt? What do we learn from the miracles? Yodum Yitzrayim, Keni Hashem. Vidatem, Keni Hashem. By bringing the miracles, Am Yisrael learns V'aminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. They believe that God exists. I can't talk about worshiping for God until first I know that He is, that there is a God. Once it's established there is a God, and there is one God, then I can talk about accepting Him as my boss. And therefore, when I build up the statement, first I have to explain there is one God and only one God, Yotzer Hamorot. Then I explain that He chose us to serve Him, and the Torah is the guide. Once I understand how and why we're chosen, and who this God is, then we can say the Pledge of Allegiance. When we pledge allegiance, the first point we're making, He's our boss. Because that's part of pledging allegiance. But the background before you can pledge allegiance is first to say, understand who the God is.
So now, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, I understand. Hashem Echad is referred to Shema Yisrael. Hashem Echad is something that I should go and clarify who's Hashem. I know already who's Hashem.
Yeah.
When I say Shema Yisrael, Yotzer Or Bor Choshech, بنو بحرت القرآن بالأشم أشم إلوكين.
Yeah.
So what is Hashem have now?
The Hashem Elok. When we say that, we're quoting Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu says in Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he didn't say beforehand the two brachot. I'm quoting. Why I'm quoting from Shema is because the next pasuk is Ba'at Hashem Elokecha, Ba'yu Bechav Bishanto Drach Bishit Kol Elitecha, Ushavcha B'Kumecha, Ushavcha B'Kumecha. We say Shema because of the pasuk in the Torah. So the nusach of Shema is from the Torah. After we have the pasuk of Shema, then we go back and make the two brachot. But I can't ask you a question, why does Moshe Rabbeinu say Hashem Echad? Moshe Rabbeinu says Hashem Echad because that pasuk of Shema Yisrael is the application of the sense of Dibrot. Hashem Yisrael Hashem Echad is the first Dibrot.
According to
Perush, yeah?
Hashem Echad is referred to Israel.
No, Hashem Echad is that Kodesh Baruch Hu.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm clear. I said Hashem
has.
Yeah. I'm telling Shema Yisrael. What Israel should listen
over?
What should we hear for? That Hashem is
the Ahad,
right?
Shema Yisrael. That's right. Shema Yisrael obey. Or listen. It's the Shema Yisrael Shema and Shema Yisrael. How do you translate it? Every time I see an English sitter, I always look how they translate it. Is it listen, obey, or hear? What does Shema mean? Lo Shumu Moshe. They didn't hear him. They didn't understand him, or they didn't obey him. That's to obey. When I say listen to your parents, does that mean obey or listen? I listen to music, but that's to listen to my mother, not to listen to music. Understand? The same thing in Hebrew. Shema can mean obey, Shema can be. But when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu saying Shema Yisrael, I think, in the speech, that's Moshe Rabbeinu talking, and he's introducing the commandment, Vavtat Hashem, he tells Israel, they probably fell asleep after the first speech. He has to wake them up. Shema Yisrael. And then the big statement is Hashem Elokeinu. Asher Kratim Anu B'Tochorez. Who is Hashem? Hashem Echad. Again, what I'm trying to get at is that in Shema Yisrael, in Tefillah, that whole section of Tefillah is Pledge of Allegiance. And it explains Shema, the Brachot come beforehand, and Shema Yisrael and the Parshat of Shema. Because first, he's my boss, and I should serve him out of love, after Hashem Elokecha, which is the ideal. And then I read the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, which is about with punishment, about Shechar Ba'Onesh. We know that as educators and as parents. You can tell a child, be good because it's the right thing to do, and love being a good child and being a good person. Or you can say, if you don't do your chores, that you're going to get punished. Or you get rewarded. What works better? Reward and punishment, or a virtue? Of course it is. So the highest level is Rachat Hashem Elokecha. But realistically speaking, Shechar Ba'Onesh, but Shechar Ba'Onesh, you know what Shechar Ba'Onesh means. In Shema Yisrael, in Lo Tishmo.
The second one is more blessing and curses
to follow. But if you follow, God says, if you follow my laws, I'll help you, help me. I'll give you prosperity. If you don't follow my laws, you're out of here. Because what point do you have in being in the land and being my nation if you're not doing a good job? You're fired, but only temporarily. Because I'll bring you back sooner or later. The third parasha of Kriyat Shema, why do we read it? From what you remember? Why do we read the parasha of Tzitzit? To remember it. There's another chiyuv every day to remember it at Mitzrayim. Now, let me ask you a question. Are we supposed to remember that God took us out of Egypt, or why he took us out of Egypt? And there's a big difference between the two. Listen to my question. Are we supposed to remember that God took us out of Egypt, or why he took us out of Egypt? The first one is basic. We need to know that God took us out of Egypt. We call that in English, Hakoras Hatov. Know what that is, Hakoras Hatov? It's in Ashkenazi. Hakarat Hatov. In Hebrew. Hakarat Hatov. Ashkenazi. I can't translate Hakarat Hatov. I'll translate it. Expression of gratitude. That's much better in Hebrew. The concept of God took you out of Egypt. Remember, if you didn't take us out of Egypt, we'd still be slaves. We have to have gratitude for God that because of Him, we're a nation, which is wonderful. But there's more than that. There's also, in Hebrew, Hakarat Yud, or in English, recognition of destiny. But if you follow Bibbin of Tarim in Sefer Bereshit, there's a reason why God put us into Egypt to take us out. It wasn't we got God in Bibbin of Tarim, God wanted to go through suffering, at least a certain amount of suffering, in order to learn from that suffering. What do we learn from that suffering? All through Sefer Dvarim especially, but also in Parshat Mishpatim, remember you were slaves in Egypt, therefore be kind to your servant, be kind to the widow, the orphan, over and over again, remember you were a slave in Egypt, keep shut. Remember, when you free your slave, when you gather your field, when you gather your harvest, always over and over again, remember you were a slave in Egypt, remember you were a stranger in Egypt. That's the theme in Parsha Kedoshim too. The same theme repeated over and over again. What's that mean? Why did God take us out of Egypt? In order to be His nation. But to be His nation, we had to be sensitized. We're supposed to learn. We learn from our past. We learn from our suffering, not to do that to others. And therefore, when we remember that God took us out of Egypt, it's not only that He took us out of Egypt, but it's why He took us out of Egypt. What pasuk do we say? Ani Hashem Elokechem. Asher take it from Eretz Mitzrayim, finish by Lo Lachalohim. Isn't that that's explaining why he took this up? And that phrase Lo Lachalohim is Brit Milah. If you know Brit Milah, that was a shir today in the other show. You knew that, didn't you? So Brit Milah is Lo Lachalohim. Take a look. That's Brit Milah. It's right there. Patimodi Briti. It's Lachalazarachah that says Konan Lo Lachalohim. That's the Brit of Torah that I'm going to guide you, my people. So, let me summarize the middle section. Brit Milah, Shema Yisrael, why would a pledge of allegiance be important? I want to go back to the thing. Why is it important every morning and every evening to pledge allegiance to your boss? Do they still do that in school today? They pledge allegiance to, what's the guy's Republic, Richard Stans? What's his name? Who do we pledge allegiance to? Richard somebody. Isn't Richard Stans? Doesn't he have a republic? The Republic of Richard Stans. I'm joking. I would never do that one. of Richard Stans. So let me explain. The idea of pledging allegiance is if being Jewish means you represent God, you serve God, it's important to know who your boss is. If you understand what you're saying, how do we accomplish that goal of serving God? Not by davening, but by living. It's when you leave shul, you fulfill your Eved Hashem. How you act at work, how you act on the street, how you act in your family, how you act in your community. That's how you represent God. But reminding yourself every morning when you get up, and remind yourself again in the evening, that I have a boss and there's a reason why he chose me, and I have a responsibility, being Jewish, that's a pledge of allegiance. And that's the most important part of, I think it's the most important element of davening. That's not praying for your needs. That prepares you for a day of work. And it's such an important point to consider, and in my opinion, we don't emphasize that enough in Jewish education. But we obligate ourselves, everyone knows you have to say twice a day. But it's almost, to a lot of people, it's like a magic formula. Say these magic words and God will come and save you. But if you understand what's behind it, it's the whole theme of Chumash. As I'm saying, that's how Chumash explains the Siddur. There's a theme in Chumash of chosen to serve God. And understanding Shema is pledge of allegiance. And I try to show you how the Brachot explain that. Then I understand why I say it every day. So that's the, that's one thing. That's the middle thing. Yeah.
This is for them clarifying the point. Are there two separate aspects of Egypt trying? One is Zephyr's him trying to remember that we're taken out.
Yeah.
Then the whole story explaining the whole purpose, that's the concept of Sephiroth him trying, point of death. And wasn't the reason why the whole Sashar Sephiroth was accepted to be mentioned this him trying? But there would have been another part chosen from Malak and Milan, but that was too long. But that part, did it mention that an official
Another, which Chet has in Bilam? Almost in Mitzrayim?
The Prophet is talking about, they would have chosen another part, but because they heard the Tzibur, it's too long, they left that part out.
I think Parshat Tzitzit comes for another reason also. It's not just the end. It's Baikem. It's Kabbalat al Malchut Shemayim also Parshat Tzitzit. Because what do we remember when we see our Tzitzit? I'll explain the question and then I'll explain the answer. And I'll try to suggest an answer. The question is Parshat Tzitzit, right, only about remembering why we were chosen? Or also, was that the main point? Why God took us out of Egypt, or also that He took us out? Parshat Tzitzit is not only about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's a little line at the end. It's about Tzitzit. When you look at Tzitzit, what is Tzitzit supposed to remind you of? That you have to remember that, and otherwise you forget them. Finish it. Uzchatem et komitvot Hashem, v'yitem kedoshim l'Eloheichem. Where's that from? It's exactly toshim to you, but even where's toshim to you come from? But tem tuli l'mechet konim v'goy kadosh. That's Brit Sinai. So looking at your tzitzit reminds you of Brit Sinai. Why? Because what are you supposed to see? It's looking at in Shema. What reminds you of the brief? Your tzitzit or the tchelet?
The contract.
You don't realize how right you are. What? What's the pesukim say? You put it to the tchelet, ve'elachem tzitzit, uritem otah. Uritem otah or otah? Otah. Which is what? It's a tchelet, isn't it? What did Chazal say? Why the tchelet? The tchelet's like the yam, and the yam's like the rakia. But there's more than that. If the main thing is tchelet, why do I need lavan? And tzitzit, if tchelet is the main thing, let it be a kalisha kulot tchelet.
That's what
Korah. You see what? That's where they get it from. But tzitzit is only meaningful on the background of white. Because what? How does tchelet on the background of white remind you of kedusha? Because what's kedusha? Every kedusha is when I take one element and separate it from the bigger group, but in order to bring God to the whole group. That's classic kedusha. I take one day of the week, Shabbat. One day of the week, I separate it from the other days of the week. I give it a special status. And by doing so, what am I able to do? I'm able to bring God to every day of the week. But making Shabbat special, it's not causing the other days of the week to be farther away from God. But being closer to God on Shabbat, that doesn't kick God out of the rest of the week. That enables me to bring God into my week. Shabbat formats time. What? Thematically, no. So that's why we say it instead. That's like when Shabbat, by saying it, understanding it, we get the same result. Or if you can find tchelet, even better. The rabbi was tchelet, I saw today. That's the way I do. The idea of when you see, if you're making a kitchen, or like a tie on a white shirt, that's a bad idea. If you have a kitchen, you have like white tiles, do people ever put like a passive blue on the tiles, or a passive any kind, a colorful pass? What does that enhance? It enhances the entire wall, doesn't it? If I have a garment, I'm putting a stripe down it. The stripe is not only making itself look good, it enhances the whole object. In other words, just like the blue makes the whole peel, the whole corner look nicer. Okay? The white strings look nicer with the blue, and the whole group looks nicer. But without the blue, I need the blue to make everything look nicer. I separate one string, make it special for the sake of the whole unit. In the same way God separates one day of the week in order to be holiness to holy. God separates one nation, makes them special, for what reason? To bring the concept of God to all mankind. That's it. God makes one city special, not to limit God to Yerushalayim, but for God to emanate from Yerushalayim. That's the basic concept of kedusha. And that idea, when you look at tzitzit and understand, when you see the tzitzit and understand that the blue makes everything else look nicer, then I understand why we were chosen. We were chosen to bring God to elevate all the nation, of Tzadvinish. And there's something beautiful in Masechet Brachot. That's Chachamim. What do you have to wait for? What do you say Shema in the morning? From what time do you say Shema? When you can differentiate between Tchelet and Lavan. That's awesome. Because that's Kabbalah Talmud Shemaim. You understand how it comes out? But when the rabbis give time, why can't they just say 18 minutes after sunrise? Why can't they say sunrise, sunset? Why are they so cryptic, right? When do we say Shema at night? When Kohanim, right, can eat a Shuma. Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. We take, in the morning, Parshat Tzitzit. Yeshev Eitchen, which is like, Eitchen Kedoshim V'Loichen. Because Kabbalat Malchut Shemayim is recognizing the covenant in Mount Sinai. You're chosen to be nations representing. It's so beautiful the way Halacha takes concept, right, and brings it into... It sounds like something technical. That means when you learn the first Mishnah Brachah, what's going on here? Just tell me, you know, how many minutes before... Why can't it be like Shulchan Aruch? No, just how many minutes before... You know, what's the first time I can say Shema in the morning? And give me a table. It's so much more meaningful when you see Tchilat and Levan. So that's the unit of Kabbalat Malchut Shemayim.
Is that possible? We can say that Tchelet represents Hashem, that He is Hashem.
No, I think Tchelet represents us.
No, I understand. Yeah. For us to separate, I understand.
Yeah, why God separate us, the servant?
Again, yeah. When I'm looking at Tchelet, what do I see there? According to your perush.
I don't look at Tchelet, I look at Tchelet on the background of Lavan. And I see Am Yisrael between among the nations. How we have to shine.
So what is the response of Hachamim that they say, look, they're okay, I see the Shamayim, so this is your member holding his vote?
To remember not only that you're separate, you're special, but you're special for the sake of God. Your specialness is blue because blue reminds you of Shemayim. Not that I'm special and I'm better than everybody, but I'm special because I'm working for God. It's me who I'm representing God. Yeah.
But don't mention the
No, but in fact, I'm not harsh denying that. But them to them, I'm not a koni v'goy kadosh. Kili kolar, what? It's a big kuna. But the Kohen also, the seat of the Kohen Gadol, right? Has a still tchelet, doesn't it? Tzitzit, tzitzit. The big kuna of Am Yisrael is tzitzit. Still tchelet, and says on it, Kodesh Lashem. Didn't you ever notice that? Yeah, the tzitzit of the Kohen Gadol was the tzitzit that we were. But it's the same idea of Kusham. But the coin in Judaism is not above and beyond everybody. He's a servant. He's working within Am Yisrael. Why are the coin special? Because they represent God to the other nations. Just like God separates Shevet Levi and gives them Kusham, makes them special to bring godliness to the 12 Shvatim. Right? Shevet Levi becoming special doesn't take God away from the other Shvatim. It enables God to enter the 12 Shvatim. That's the basic idea of Kedusha.
Because in
the analogy, there's Kohanim within Am Yisrael, and there's Mamlechet Kohanim amongst every nation. It's the same concept. Okay. But the nations, we'll get the nations down separate verses. Then we see the idea. So the first section, the middle section, I call the middle thing is Pledge of Allegiance. The next section will be petition. The idea of petition makes sense. But look at the strategy. Okay? If I'm turning to God and asking Him for prosperity, for health, for peace, for security, right? I need a strategy. And if I can convince God, if you give me prosperity, I'll be able to serve you better. You give me peace and quiet and security, and I'll be able to serve you better. You give me health, and I'll be able to serve you. What would make it logical for God to grant that wish? If He's convinced that what? If He gives you that health, what will you do? You'll serve Him better. Then there's every reason for God to answer your prayer. Because it's in His interest. If you're going to represent Him better, right? No, if He gives you health and prosperity and security, you agree that you're going to do a better job keeping these folks and do a better job representing Him, then it's in God's interest to give you that prosperity. But if God knows if He gives you prosperity, you're going to be a haughty, and you make God look bad, why should He give it to you? And He'll have to punish you all the time until you learn your lesson. No. Therefore, the first thing we have to do is convince God that if He grants our wishes, we'll do a good job working for Him. How do we do that? Therefore, what do we do before tefillah? We say tefillah only after we do, we pledge our allegiance. Now, how does God know we're sincere? How can you prove to God that you're sincere? By being sincere. That's the hardest part of tefillah. But there's no one to faith. No, we'd be dealing with God. So sincerity is the main point. But if you have to understand, you have to have the connection, that's totally different than understanding God as some magic, you can believe in God, but it's all magic formulas. And I say these magic words and those magic words, and I say these magic words of Pesukim to get health, and these magic Pesukim to get wealth, and these magic Pesukim for security, and things like that. The Rambam like fights that's borderline with Avodah Zarah. Now, there's truth in Pesukim, if you understand them, they'll make sense, they're logical, and they're good, they're a skula for something. But when you begin to view God as a machine and say these magic things, you'll get those magic answers, that's very problematic.
It doesn't work this way in the Torah. In the Torah, God doesn't give you order, He doesn't give you. And you complain, and Moshe comes and says, you know what? What the Egyptians would say.
Yeah.
It's a completely different story.
I'll give you an example. Where did Chazal learn tefillah from? In Chazal. What's the source of tefillah? How do we know there's a chiyuv to daven? What pasuk? What? He knows it's good, right? What pasuk? What pasuk? Vavarkem? It's about avodah, right? B'chol avodah nafshchem? Okay. Almost everyone says that. Look carefully. The pasuk that Chazal learned tefillah, the Hebrew tefillah, is not from Bavata Hashem Elokech B'chol B'chol Nafshecha. From there they learn what Avodah is Avodah Shebalev. The pasuk opened up your Chumash, Perchav Gimun Shmot, pasuk Chav Dalet. Yeah. Look at Shmot Perchav Gimun. Maybe you see the Sechav Rechot and the Rambam. This is what the source is. This is the first source. Shmot Perchav Gimel. In Pasha Mishpatim, at the end of Mishpatim.
Cafe.
Cafe. But you have to see Chabdalad. What's Chabdalad about? God's going to send a malach to bring you into the land. Into the land, and He's going to take care of you. Kilech malachi lefanech, rabiachal amori, bichulei. Pasha Chabdalad. Lo tishtachadeh lahem, when you come into and give it to the Avodah Zarah, lo tishtachadeh lahem v'lo ta'ovdeh, which is referring to what? Don't bow down, don't serve the other gods. How do you serve other gods? By whatever they do. By basis, whatever they do. But don't serve them. V'lo tatek ma'atehem, ki haret karsem v'shabet shabet ma'atehotam. Okay. V'abadetem et Hashem Elokechem. That's the pasuk Chazal learned tefillah from. Write this pasuk. Shikha the Parshanim. The Rambam. Listen what follows after V'atem Hashem Elokechem. You see what I'm doing here. What will God do for you? U'berach lach mechabit b'imecha. He'll bless you what? Your food and prosperity. V'asuti machra mikibecha. What's that? Okay. Lo tia mashakela v'akara b'atzecha. These are all the things people daven for, isn't it? Make a list. What things do people daven for? They daven for prosperity, for health, for long life, for children, security. Okay, good. What? Yeah, but that's not a chiyuv. No. That's tefillah, but I'm looking for a commandment to daven. I need a Russian tzibur. But the Rambam says there is a commandment. Now, then the Rambam asks, it says, Vavatam Hashem Elokechem, what would I think from this pasuk alone? How do you serve God? Exactly, that's what you would think, because that's what they did to the other God. Yes. Because it is belong to them, instead you serve your God. The logical understanding would be, how do they serve their God? With korbanot. How do you serve your God? With korbanot. Chazal say, no. What do we learn from Shema? Not that Hashem Elokecha. What Avodah is talking about? Avodah Shavale. It's so beautiful what Chazal says. Don't think Avodah Hashem is Korbanot. Avodah Hashem is Balev. And the Korbanot is an expression of what's in your lips.
Okay, but who says that to
what? Chazal. That's the Rambam.
Okay.
And the Sechet Brachot. You can argue with the Rambam. It's okay, but I'm just bringing an example. I'm bringing an example that the source in Chazal for Tfilah Yoraita. Read the Rambam, it's the beginning of Hilchot Tefillah. The source of the Rambam of Hilchot Tefillah is those pesukim, the pesukim in Mishpatim. Okay. Now there's another pesukim he quotes, which is in Sefer Devarim. Look in Perek Yud in Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud. Perek Yud in Devarim. About that there's a chiyuv to Avodat Hashem, but he picks the first one from Mishpatim. I think Mishpatim is better because it has all the things that people doubt him for. But in Perek Yud, what does God want? Pasuk Yud, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Bet. The easiest pasuk in Chumash. What does God want from you? Remember? Tefirin, to love Him, to emulate Him. Lavot Hashem b'chol v'chol v'chol nafshecha. Again, Tavdo b'chol v'chol v'chol nafshechem, which is the same as Shema. The Shema came over there. Yishmo Yisrael Tez Lecha. And then finally, Pasuk Yud Zayin. You see where we start Shema Yisrael here. Ki Hashem Eloheichem hu Elohei Elohim v'Adonai Adonim ha'alai gadol ha'gibol v'anora. That's from Shema Yisrael. אשר יש הרבה דודת שוחד, עושה משפט, יוצא במנוע, יגיע לצאת לכם את שמלה, ועשתם את הגר כמתי בית מצרים, את השם הלוקח את תירה, אותו תעבוד, ובוא תירה שם כשווה. עבודת השם is part of the package
שלו. But the word by
Kandel,
it's not there.
אין לכם
There is no Kandel.
There's a lot of things I thought about.
There's by... When
there is prayer, there is... It does say, but it's not... He's looking... Yeah. Listen, there's a source of tefillah in Torah, that tefillah works, but as an obligation to daven. That's what. That's the rabbi. Yeah. This is obligation. That's the first. Yeah, that's the first rabbi. That's why you're looking for the tefillah. But then think to you, you're right, there's no pasuk, it says tefillah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is an argument.
What
you're
saying
is just only
a sense
of argumentation.
So that's fine, yeah. So don't call it Shila, call it Avodah. So call Amida, Avodah. Okay, Avodah Hashem. Now, the Shila works, we see in Torah. Avodah Davis, Rabbi Melech, and God answers. We have Shila. Shila is a big source. But, okay. Now, I was trying to understand the strategy of davening and why Kabbalah Kol Malchut Shemayim makes sense to have to precede Tefillah. Now, the last topic, which is the source I want to give on, is Psukei Dezimra.
Why do we have
Korbanot? When you go to someone's house for Shabbat, someone's done that before? Do you bring a Korban? When you go to someone's house for Shabbat, what? You have to bring something, right? Right? If you go, you have to bring something. Even something Mechalal Shabbat, you know, something Hashem or something in the Hashem, you stop and buy power, right? Why? Do they need your wine? No, they'll recycle it. They'll give it to them when they go with them. You need to bring something, right? They don't need to receive. You need to bring something because you're not going as a delivery boy. You're going to be with them. But we said, Basar Badam, with regular people, when you're going to meet somebody, you need something to express your feelings. That's human nature, ask an anthropologist what. But the proof is, look at the jewelry business, look at the whole, just go shopping. Right? People need an action to express their feelings. You're going to honor the rabbi. Right? 20 years of service, whatever it is, you're going to make a whole big thing. Are you going to say, Rabbi, wonderful job, or do you have to make a presentation? You're going to give him a clap. You're going to, right? You don't, but when you make a big, that's human nature. You want to express your feelings, your appreciation, you have to give something. But you're not giving it because they need it. You're giving it because you need to give something. They don't need to receive. God doesn't need that. Listen to Ishayo. God, you're not feeding God. He's not hungry. But you have to do something to show you care. The second you understand that it's magic, right? It's something magic, then you ruin the whole concept of Korban. And that's why Tefillah can be just as dangerous as Korbanot within the Levim. It can be the same misunderstanding of Tefillah's Korbanot that works like magic. And that's what's in the room, slight tooth and nail.
So part of the Korbanot is to recognize the sin,
yeah,
how severe is this, and not to repeat it.
Yeah.
And that's why you look at the Kohen without the Shahita or everything, in order to feel that should happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Hashem, he said, I've been faithful with the animal, mm-hmm, for next time not to do that.
And what animal?
That's not the Avodah, according to you. It's not the Avodah. Avodah is the Tefillah.
It's Avodah.
Avodah is the Vidui.
The Vidui. The Vidui, for sure.
Vidui.
And the Korban is a way you express it. When the Tzibur brings the Korban Chatat, whenever the Tzibur brings the Korban Chatat, what animal is it? Every Korban Chatat of the Tzibur, Pasha Tincha, Sirizim L'Chatat. Why Sirizim L'Chatat? What's it represent? In 2 weeks you'll know why. In 3 weeks you'll know why.
Kitoris your faith.
Exactly. The Tzibur, the Shvatim, what do they do? Boy Zara Chatat, right? Is that a sin? It's trick. What are they doing? The Ramban says that. Right? They take the Ramban in Parshat Shmini. Parshat Shmini or Parshat the end of Tzav. But when they bring Sirizim Achad L'Chatat, the first time, I think it's in the Shevet Yimei Miluim. I think it's there or in Shmini. The Sir L'Chatat, he says, reminds us of the sin of the brothers of Yosef. What are they doing? A cover-up. Right? It's so evil what they're doing. It's so classic of sin. That you're trying to fool your father, you just killed your brother and stuff. And you remember that. The Ayol Olah is from the Akedah. Most of the stories in Sefer Bereishit explain the Korbanot. The seven Kfasim, I think, is from Abimelech and Abraham, in Be'er Sheva. By Chutush Nehem Brit, Kim? He has seven Kisot, Kim? By Kach Abraham, Son of Akavitim, and by Chutush Nehem Brit. So we say Melech Basar Bedam, Kabachomer, say Melech Machiam Lachim. That's the way humans act. Now, in ancient times, the way the stock market back then was livestock. And if you had to give something of importance, of meaning, it was in Tzona Bakar. Because that was the way, that was your wealth. And you want to give something and show God that I have from you. So the Korban is how you express yourself. Nowadays you do it in a, you know, the Rosh Hashanah, Matanan. Remember we say, what is it? That is a lot of, they say 101 in Tzona? I can't figure out what it was. 101 means 101? Okay, I can't figure out what that was.
The Ashkenazis say about Rosh Hashanah, the Sephardim don't say about
Rosh Hashanah. They get right to the point, they know how to raise money. They're much better fundraisers, that's for sure. The last topic I wanted to do is Psukei D'Zimra. Not just Psukei D'Zimra, more than anything else in Tfilah is praising Hashem. We're not asking our names. What are we doing? We're making a name for God. I call it the biggest marketing scheme ever dreamed of. That we have a product that's invisible, and we have to give it visibility. What product is invisible?
Hashem.
And how do we give it visibility? You have to talk about the product. I'll share with you a story from Rabbi Mittal, Zichrono Livracha. Used to tell the class, I'm sure who made it up, but Rabbi Mittal used to tell the story all the time, about a big, I taught it to some of the people today, I don't know, I forgot what story I gave it in. The story goes like this, a real story means it never happened, because it's a real, remember don't give me that story, story means a real story is made up. a big rich guy with a limousine comes to yeshiva, comes to a yeshiva, anywhere it can be, drives up, big thing, comes to meet Rosh Yeshiva in his office, they're screaming and yelling back and forth for 10-15 minutes, finally, he storms out of the Rosh Yeshiva's office, goes back to his limousine, drives away. The students of the yeshiva come and say, what happened? What was going on there? He says, he wanted to give me $10 million, this guy. He says, why didn't you take it? He said, he gave me one condition. What was the condition? He said, in your yeshiva, I want you to do one thing. This was the CEO of Coca-Cola, the chief operating officer of Coca-Cola. And then no advertising, right? He said, in your yeshiva, you have to do one thing. Whenever you get to Yehi Shmei Rabbah in Kaddish, instead of screaming out Yehi Shmei Rabbah, I want all the students to scream out Coca-Cola. It's worth it for me. It's worth $10 million for the advertising. It's worth it. You understand why I use Coca-Cola? Because they're the experts. They're the probably real expert in marketing, aren't they? Of course, they said no. But what's the idea behind the story? What if you follow Tefillah, the most ubiquitous prayer in the Siddur is Kaddish. More than Ashrei, more than Shema. Isn't it? We say that more than anything else. We don't pay attention to it. Is that a prayer? Kaddish. It's praise. It's a prayer for God. That what should happen? That His name, that the marketing scheme should work. That God's name should be known. How are we involved in that marketing scheme? How do we give that product visibility? How do we help market the product? We don't stop talking about God. Just follow Judaism. Eat an apple, you talk about God. Good news, bad news, you talk about God. Morning, afternoon, and night. Yeah, you want to cheat somebody, say Baruch Hashem. I mean, and I just shouldn't say that. And good news, bad news, yeah? Shem Hashem shall go before you. That's part of being Jewish. Now, there's a need to talk about God, but if the people talking about God are obnoxious and haughty and dishonest, etc., that makes God look bad. We call that the Chilul Hashem. Now, if you want to look oversimplifying, Judaism has two elements. To market a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, we have to talk about God all the time. First and foremost, ourselves, to remind us who He is. Also, people willing to listen to get the idea. But the main way we do it is by how we act. If we act ethically, morally, exemplary, and we talk about a God, we call that a win-win. Because people look up to us, where they honor us, they respect us, etc., and we talk about God, God looks good. If we talk about God and act poorly, that's counterproductive. It's pointless. In fact, it's worse than nothing. That's what we call Chilul Hashem, which is like the third commandment, I think. Don't carry that name in vain. Let's say we're exemplary, but we never talk about God. So we're nice people, but nothing gets marketed. And therefore, it's those two elements that make the idea work. Therefore, in addition to keeping me salt all day long, and being acting above and beyond, following Kedoshim to you, and Pasha Mishpatim, and keeping all the laws of Beinam L'Chaviro, and society, and creating a just society with Chesed, and everything that Torah is about, we also have to talk about that all the time. When do we do that? Primarily in Tefillah. And we talk about who God is, how great He is, we remind ourselves who He is, and that's the Kedoshim Ra. What? The choir, yeah. I mean,
it's not getting out there.
But the main way it gets out is through passive education. It's the preaching of the choir, because the choir needs to remember. If you don't, there's certain things, if you don't remind yourself every day, you'll forget them. Remember, you have to keep something going for thousands of years. Not 5 years, 10 years. How do you keep a concept like that? The strength of the halachic system, it's continuity and survival. How do you keep an idea and a concept going through trouble and travail and wars and exile, and pass that down from generation to generation? That's no easy task. For thousands of years to keep an idea alive, if you didn't have a strict halachic system, it would never last. But there's a danger in that halachic system, that everything becomes, that there's a great saying that routine is the greatest asset to religion and the greatest danger to spirituality. And that's classic. But there's a need to, but that constant repetition and idea of talking about God is important. Now, I want to show you the source sheet again. You guys want to have the page? Does everyone have? Yeah. In the source sheet I have, I want to talk about, show you how this theme comes from Chumash. This theme of talking about God. And primarily in Sefer Bereishit. I want to begin with the phenomenon in Chumash, which I think happens a lot.
It's two sides.
The side starts with A. Then you got Whoa. Wait, who has a Oh my gosh. You got the original. Oh my gosh. There's no they're all no, sorry, okay, stop. So you have your machine.
We have some people in the car
who
walk in the middle of
Sukkot from that, so that's okay. Yeah. It's not about that. Okay. So that's good because the sources on the first page are all from Chumash. Okay. Look in your Chumash. Look in the end of Perek Dalet. In fact, it's better in your Chumash. Look in the end of Perek Dalet, if you see where it is in Chumash. Sefer Bereshit, the end of Perek Dalet. Remember, Perek Aleph is creation, Perek Bet and Gimel is Gan Eden, and Perek Dalet is Kain in heaven, or sin of Kain and his punishment. Okay? Destroying Kain in heaven was over. Perek Hay are the Toledot, from Adam down to Noah. But look at the end of Perek Dalet. What happened? Shait is born to, they have a kid, Shait begins to return Enosh. And cryptically, at the end of Perek Dalet, it says, Azu Chalik Rav Hashem Hashem. It's a classic pasuk, you can't understand it by itself. It can be understood in many different ways. Look at the translations, everyone's something different. Then they began to call on God's name, they began to profane God's name. Some people did, some people didn't. Is it something good, something bad? It's hard to tell. But I call that, when you study Chumash, I call that M plus. Remember on the calculator? You have the ambiguous phrase in Chumash. It's a setup. Because that phrase, almost for sure is going to come up again in Chumash. And based on what happens later on, you understand what's happening here. But notice I'm at a cliffhanger in Chumash. I just finished the whole section. The end of Perek Dalet. I just finished Perek Dalet. And I'm about to start genealogies in the story of the flood. Something's going somewhere. Azuchal, the end of Perek Dalet, Azuchal, Azuchal, Hashem, Hashem. Where do we have that phrase again? Of Kriya Hashem, Hashem. By Abraham and Perek Yudvet. Abraham is chosen. Lech Lecha Mi'arzucha. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. Perek Yudvet. You can take a look in Perek Yudvet and say, this you know by heart for sure. In Sefer Bereshit, Perek Yudvet, Pasha Lech Lecha. He comes first to Shechem, goes to Mizbeach, says thank you. Then from there he travels to, God tells him, I'm giving you the land. He goes to Beit El, then Beit El Benai, and what does he do in Beit El? Ba'ivim Shem Mizbeach, Ba'ikra B'Shem Hashem. He calls out in God's name. We'll translate soon what that means.
Here in Perek Dalet, is a positive comment or negative?
Yes.
Because they call it a machine.
It's chilul. That's why I said there's an argument in the parshanim. But Rashi, every parshan says something different there. Every translation is something different. But is it chilul or is it good or bad? That proves to me that it's ambiguous. And I think the main thing in Torah, it needs to be ambiguous. And the reason why Chazal says something negative is because later something passed by Avraham. It's coming to explain why God needs to pick Avraham Avinu. I think Rashi is 100% right. But if I didn't have Perek Yudgut, I wouldn't be able to explain Rashi. Rashi couldn't explain Perek Dalet. What? No. But I'm saying, what leads Rashi to his conclusion? As a Parshan. Because it must... But Avram Avinu is something positive, that's for sure. And Avram is coming to fix something. It could be something good back then also, it just makes more sense than something negative. But I don't want to get into the Parshanim, I want to show you that it's ambiguous. I brought Rashi to prove there's ambiguity in that puzzle. But by Avram Avinu, it's clear it's something positive. And Avram goes down to Egypt in Perek Yud Gimel. In the end of Perek Yud Bet, Perek Yud Gimel. He comes back from Egypt at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. Comes back to Beit El. And what's he do there? And puts a dollar in Perek Yud Gimel. Goes back and goes in his back and calls out in Hashem's name. Later on, he makes a treaty with Avimelech, right? By Ta'esha B'Be'er Shava. By Krasha B'Shem Hashem Kola. Yitzchak. After all the wells, etc. Finally, God talks to him. He builds a mizbeach, and also Korei B'Shem Hashem. The Parshanim argue, what does it mean to call out B'Shem Hashem? Unklus. Rashi follows, it means to daven. To pray. Right? Rashi means he's praying for the eye, what's going to happen later on with Yeshua. Unklus is his Lashon Tefillah, like in Karati B'Shemcha Hashem Yibor Tachtiyot. Many times in Tehillim, calling out to God, Kriya B'Shem Hashem is calling out to God. Rabban explains that sometimes it's true, but in this context, it's calling out about God. Kriya B'Shem Hashem can be understood calling out to God or about God. In my opinion, also an intentional ambiguity, because Adam does both. How would you say calling out to God in English? In one word. Someone who calls out to God, what's he doing? He's praying. And what do you call someone calling out about God?
He's praying.
That's praising. In fact, in English, it's praise and praise. P-R-A-Y-S and P-R-A-I-S-E. If you want to work with high school kids. Praise. In Hebrew, pray is, in Hebrew, Tefillah. Okay. Praise is? Make it rhyme. Tefillah. Prayer. Praise?
Tehillah.
It's the same word, but it might not rhyme. Sifre Tehillim, the first two Sfarim, right? Tefillah. Tefillah. David, Tefillah. Tefillah. The second two Sfarim, mostly? Tehillah. Halal. Hallelujah. Why is that in Tehillim? Because that's what, being Jewish is both. It's not only Tehillah, it's not only Tefillah. We turn to God when we're in trouble because we believe that He controls everything. I like to call the Brachot Shmoneh Esrei, I call them Yes He Can. Isn't it? All the Brachot and Shmoneh Esrei, Yes He Can. Yes, you can Rofech with Him, you can Matir Asim, you can do all these things. And I have to be worthy, and I know that you can, and therefore, that's why I'm coming to you. If you want to do it, that's up to you. But it's worth it, we tell it's worth it to you to help me. So that's. So there's Tehillah and there's Tefillah. And that's Avraham's life. The main reason, though, why God is speaking Avraham Avinu is in order to do Tehillah. God wants all mankind, just listen to Rosh Hashanah davening. Melacha kolam kula bichvodecha. Do you remember Hashem Neshama b'yapo? Is that your Nusach also? Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Malchuto b'chol Mashalo. And that's the proof it's the right Nusach. It's the main theme if it's both Nusach. Everyone says that. All mankind will say the God that we're talking about, He's the God of all mankind. And He's King over everybody. He's always the God, He's always the Elah Kadosh, but only if everyone recognizes Him, is He Elah Kadosh. But the goal is that all mankind recognizes God. We kick it off on Rosh Hashanah. Then I did it, it's our obligation to talk about God and praise God. Who's that from? It's okay to Dimra, but it's Tim Kufei, that's Divra Yamim, but we say Tfilah every morning. Yeah. So that's one example. Tilal David, all the Hallelujah, all that, what do we do every day? The first thing we do when we come to Shul is we praise God. And we talk about how great He is, first for ourselves. If someone's listening on the outside, let them listen. But making we have to know that the main way you praise God is by how you act, but also by what you say, and how you praise Him, and how sincere you are. But you need that constant reminder. This might explain why we need a minion to Tfilah B'Tzibur. Remember, for Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabbah. Isn't that the thing? If there's a meeting, let's say there's elections coming up, and let's say there's a candidate running, and there's a rally, and there's being televised, and six people show up to the rally. If you're organizing, would you cancel it or go through with it? Why would you cancel it? Because it looks bad. Right? If you're having a prayer meeting, you're gathering together to praise God, and how many people show up? You can't get a minion? Don't say, the praise is counterproductive if no one's there. That could explain the idea of what's behind the minyan. No, I'm saying the concept. What? Yeah. No, I'm saying the concept of a quorum. How many for a quorum, how many people? The idea that you need to gather, to if you're going to promote the idea of God, that you need a quorum, this makes sense, that's all, in that context.
Because the covenant is nothing
with the individual. Maybe with the nation. Yeah. And you need a quorum to be a nation. Now, so there's a whole element of tefillah, which is praising, pledging allegiance, and then later prayer. So those three elements are the key to understanding the tzibur. Then I call them, one other thing is peripheral. Yeah. But Aleinu is right out of Machiot. Right? Aleinu is also praise. And it's our duty to praise Hashem. That's the whole idea. That's how Malchiyot begins with Aleinu v'Shabeah. And Rosh Hashanah, we 800 years ago, we started saying it every day. Remember? It was written for Rosh Hashanah davening way before that. And Kaddish we talked about. And Tehillah. So those are the things. And also, there's Kriyat HaTorah, which is Limud. Which is Mamad Har Sinai. So those are the three points. I want to end with something that sort of relates to these different ideas on a calendar. There's a mitzvah every day of Kabbalat Malchut Shemayim, the same Shema, and there's a mitzvah every day to remember Yitzhak Mitzvah. It relates to the same idea. Even though the mitzvot every day, each of these mitzvot have an opening day ceremony. What am I talking about? What's the opening day celebration? What's the opening day? What's the kickoff, I guess, called? Oh, throwing out the first fish? For the mitzvah to remember the Exodus. You have every day to remember the Exodus. Yeah. We begin the spring, the Chodesh Nisan, with the Pesach. We make a big deal about it in the beginning of the month, in the spring, and then we reinforce it every day. That's how we begin the spring. How do we begin the fall? Chodesh Tishrei with what? With what mitzvah? With the big Rosh Hashanah is the biggest machiyot, is the biggest kabbalat al machat shemayim. And then we reinforce it every day. But the pasuk of Shema Yisrael isn't machiyot? Better be there, isn't it? Even though it doesn't say melech, that's the best proof. The only pasuk of machiyot that doesn't say melech is Shema Yisrael. That's the only Rosh Hashanah, isn't it? It's only one chumash, right? The only way we come from chumash without melech in it. Yeah. So that's in the beginning, so those two mitzvot, our calendar is so built on that idea of being Jewish. It's about Kabbalat HaMelachot Shamayim is vertical, and when you understand, remembering you were saved in Egypt, that's horizontal. That's between men, and that's to be sensitive. It's also to be thankful that God took you out of Egypt, but more so to recognize, to remember why He took you out of Egypt, to be sensitive and kind and doing chesed and, you know, being kind to the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan. All the psukim that talk about remember you were slave in Egypt. So there's, and those two mitzvot, that's part of being Jewish. It's your, you have a special connection to God, and also a responsibility to society, to your own community, and to your nation, and to all mankind. But those ideas we reinforce all the time in tefillah, but they're so basic, and they all have special holidays about them. And many things, what I try to show you is that there's all these things in the Chumash that are stories and ideas, but the Sefer is like, now as long as you have the source sheet, I want to end with what you have in the source sheet. Yeah. To show that this idea of Shem Hashem actually works with Tefillah. The Mechom Tefillah, like the Beit Knesset, is the Beit HaMikdash. When someone builds the Beit HaMikdash, he has a Tefillah. Ki Beit Beit Tefillah Yisrael L'chol Amin, remember that sometime, don't we? That's from Yishayahu. That's talking about going coming to Dabi. Yeah. What does he say here in F? Shalom Sila. The Gan Alu Nochi Asher Lamach Yisrael Ba Meisel Rochukah Leman Shemecha. Tishmur Shimcha Gadol. Yatzah Chatakah. Tifal Abay Tazeh. Vata Tishma Shmai Mokon Shiftecha. Vatsuch Asher Lecha Yifal Nochi. Leman Yidun Ko Amayat Et Shemecha. Zilol Tcha Kamcha Yisrael Lodad Ki Shimcha Nikra Labay Tazeh. The Beit HaMikdash is called in Sefer Dvorim Al Chom Asher Yibchar Hashem. The Shekin Shmuel Shan. The place, the Mikdash is not just a place to bring korbanot. That's not the goal. God doesn't need to be fed. It's a place to market the concept of God, God's reputation. That's what it's called. The place that God set aside to make His name known. And if we're acting properly, and we have a culture, we have a nation, society, and the Beit HaMikdash is the symbol, the icon, then people come and can find God. And what does it finally work when Malkat Shva comes to visit? Malkat Shva Shemat Et Shem HaShlomo, Meshem HaShem. Got the idea? How does another nation find out about us? The queen of Ethiopia, far away in her country, they hear about Shlomo. How do they hear about Shlomo? He has a great arms industry. He has a great shipping industry. He has high tech. He has a great economy. And the people know that they're a world power. People hear about them. And she wants to come check it out. But everything they're doing the same as them. They're not just saying we did it, they're saying God did it.
It shows from here that people of Israel did not actually act in a way to bring Shem Hashem.
And therefore, what does he say? Keep it achenu malachem ashak dachem. Bimlo, I'm going to kick you out. And what does he say there? Hatzilu gazum yad ashok. Offer me the altar as mine. Which is that the Levim come and say, If you're waving your flag, you're God's people, and coming to Beit HaMikdash and praying to me, that has to match your behavior outside the Beit HaMikdash when you leave. Yeah. And don't turn the Beit HaMikdash into voodoo and magic and God's working for you, you're working for God. So the also Yishael and Zaradavid about Orla Goim and the Brit Amr Goim in giving an Neshama to a nation. This is what it is. Hashem mentioned also in Kriya B'Shem Hashem, Migdal Bavel before Avram Avinu, then I said Lanu Shem. So in Migdal Bavel, they're making a name for man. Avram is chosen to make a name for God. So, you know, man needs to build, but that's So I'll try to show you again, there's a whole theme in Chumash which is long. The idea of Shem Hashem is very prominent in Chumash. And those ideas that Chumash is talking about, their concepts in Chumash about why we're chosen, how we're chosen, and what the purpose of God taking Am Yisrael for is about, and why He enters the covenant and gives us the Torah, all those ideas help us understand the main sections of the Siddur about praise, Pesukei Zimra, Kabbalah Tzomach Shemayim, pledge of allegiance, and petition, Amidah. Again, we begin with Tfilah for the sake of the Siddur, and later we can add our own personal Tfilah, but we approach God as part of a unit, part of a group. That's why Tfilah the Siddur is so powerful and so meaningful. We get protected because we're part of a group, but we have responsibility because we're part of a group. Sometimes we can get a ride with everybody else because we're part of a group, but sometimes we suffer because of everybody else. And hopefully we should have a... God should answer our prayers, but we should, you know, have schut that our prayers should be answered, but also, I guess the bottom line is we go to shul to leave. Got my point? Shul is not something to get out of the way. Shul is the spiritual breakfast of the day. If you understand what you say in davening, then when you leave shul, you'll be a different person. You should be transformative. If you have Havana. So it's not just something like you say these magic words and get out. Something, if you understand them, it transforms you as a person. And quick question?
Yes, yeah, so the connection between
Shema
and
Tzvah
is so
visible.
Why do we have it during the fasting?
Why do we have
the when? Meaning, of course, you have Shema, seven Mitzvahs,
yeah.
You have to do in the morning and night.
Yeah.
But if you're saying so integral together with the idea of Tzvah, why don't we have it within the fasting? I know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to show that.
So we. For sure, they're separate. No, I'm saying, but once I'm saying Shema, it makes sense to be Sumech Gula Vetzila. Gula being the last bracha of Kriyat Shema. Gula is another yes, you can. You know, you did it in the past, you can do it again in the future. You redeemed this in the past, and it's true, isn't it? Emet. You did the past, and you did in the past, you can do it. We know you can. You did it for us in the past, and hopefully you'll do it again in the future. You need this, and we do it in Avrit also. The Shema beforehand, but we only have to say Shema twice. But we daven mincha, we daven tefillah three times a day. So we have tefillah de David, which is also an introduction.
Without
you don't need the introduction help. If once I'm saying Shema, this is a great time to daven as well. But I can daven, I'm allowed to daven without it. Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. In the army, they call that a shilat kit bag. You know what shilat kit bag is? A kit bag. You know what the Israeli army? So the kit bag is it's English kit bag. Okay. When you get the army, you get this whole big duffel bag. It's a duffel bag with all your supplies. So whenever you go on a training mission in the army, in basic training, they tell you, take your gun, take your knapsack, take this, take that. So the soldier, the stupid soldier, says, you know, commander, okay, do we need to take our duffel bag also? Which is totally stupid, but because that's the stupid question, you know, okay, everyone has to take the duffel bag. So that in Hebrew, it's Israeli jargon called a kitbag, shelat kitbag. So they say, it's such a good idea, maybe, so if someone asks that, they say, no, we're going to end up 10 years from now, but they say Shema before Mincha also. So we have to be careful. This is big enough. No, it's a good question, yeah.
In the Chumash, it almost seems that the leadership prays. The Abraham prays, Moshe prays, and the people, you know, they get saved by his prayers. Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes prayers arguing with God, isn't it? What? Look how many times in prayer they argue against God. God says, I want to do this, and they pray. God wants to bring a makkah.
It's the leadership. Okay.
Yeah.
It's always the leadership. Also, the healing says,
okay. And Aaron, the third Torah.
Yeah. And then later, when Andras Sofer came back from Persia, and he made Torah public, Torah study was public, he stood on the Kibbutz, attacked by several people.
It's a Democrat.
He read the Torah, right? And then that is public, it's accessible to the public, they could study Torah, and they could also pray.
It progresses, right, yeah.
So this concept came later, then it became, you know, required on people to pray. Maybe it's for identity.
Sure, it's really cool, yeah. I'm not talking about how it developed, you know, historically.
Yeah.
It for sure develops and becomes more popular for the for the people, as it goes on. We don't know, we don't have any real source to know exactly what was happening during Beit Rishon, but our Tfilah B'Tzibur, most people hold it, it begins in Yavne after Churban HaBayit. So Tfilah B'Tzibur was a big setting before the Churban, was supposed to primarily a place of Limud Torah. The Drasha of Torah was in Shabbat, and they did Tirgum, and they said Kaddish Rabbanan, and that was a big Knesset. But Tfilah B'Tzibur was only in the Mikdash.
No,
Kaddish
Rabbanan
was not until 2096. No, not Al-Tishabat, but saying Kaddish, saying a Kaddish. No, not Kaddish Rabban. Saying the original minhag of Yehei Shai Rabba, which is in the Gemara, was after the Mutorah.
After
Siyum of the Mutorah. Yeah. Our Nusach is much later, but the concept of saying of Yehei Shai Rabba was already from Talmudic time.
In praise,
yeah.
Not
in praise, exactly, it's praise. Kaddish it's praise. But praise after the Mutorah. But the turning after Churban HaBayit, the main tefillah was in the Beit HaMikdash, Tefillah B'Tzibur. Chachamim in Yavne, in the Mikdash, of course there's tefillah.
Tefillah Shlomo
is not tefillah. Read Tefillah Shlomo, that's it. It's about tefillah. From the very beginning, the Beit HaMikdash is tefillah.
It was tefillah,
I'm not saying the people, but tefillah was the main purpose of it. But people prayed the tefillah for the tzibur in the Beit HaMikdash. Bechat Kohanim. Part of the Seder Avodah was tefillah. Now, tefillah in the shul only began after Churban HaBayit. And that was a big takanot of Yavne. That now there's nobody, theoretically they could have said, we're gonna wait for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt. They did such a good job of replacing the Beit HaMikdash with the Beit HaKnesset that we don't need a Beit HaMikdash anymore. Survive without it beautifully. One of the downsides of Yavne was, I mean, it was a plus side. In the wisdom, Chachamim and Yavne were able to turn the main functions of the Beit HaMikdash to the Beit HaKnesset.
Musaf is all about Korbanot, and says that in the future we're going to have Korbanot and Amidah. I don't think
we're going to
have
a big idea. Let God decide. What difference do you make? What I think? What'll be?
What?
What I think doesn't make a difference. What God decides makes a difference.
No.
I think God will decide what's best.
So you don't have a
prayer.
What? I don't have a prayer. I mean, you're
so far in
the
death.
There was no
problem
with prayer. It was
personal
prayer.
Yeah. After the Qurban. After the Qurban was given, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to understand
the
question, how come we don't have
Shema? Yeah.
To be
Kabbalah
on
Shema. Yeah. Kasha, I get it. That's
good.
I think.
How come we say Shema twice, morning and night? Why morning, why night?
And morning makes sense, in the morning.
No,
it's Shema at night. See, there's two times, there's a machoket. What do you call Shema at night? Right before you go to bed? Or the beginning of the evening? So if it's how to live your life, if it's a prayer about life, it's the beginning of the evening. Like in the beginning of the morning. If we're going to sleep, it's a prayer about death. You get through the night. In other words, it's like vidui before, like vidui before death. That's a different topic.
Maybe we can go with one line.
Yeah.
To say that Shema morning at night, it takes me to one real explanation to let me know that Hashem put my emuna, that my emuna should not be shaky. My emuna should be always strong. Morning, when I go to my work, and I can see many different things happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can lose my excitement in number of them. When I come home, Hashem doesn't want me to lose sight of him. Always should have been morning and night. Memha is a part of the day. So that's why part of the day.
Very good, yeah.
So I'm thinking why Hashem commands the Jews to say Shema twice in the morning and night. Because end of the day, there is many people sometimes, you know, they
burn out.
So it's better to put
them out. And begin with that. Night is kind of that. Especially in regards to the Munah.
Yes.
But remember that's what I forget. I have to work for him again tomorrow. No, it makes you don't want to quit your job.
Nothing to do with somebody who will work up and think they will not be for Tarana. I believe
it, and actually, Munah, that's what we
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a time of change,
yeah.
Yeah.
God is in control of, and he's the one behind the
sun at 9/11. It's all extra, you know, towers out there per se, you should believe them, but rather regroup and so needed, and one in the morning can carry the crewmen out as well. That one should be, in other words, you should have had enough kind of command theory from that one, they carry the crewmen out, you don't need it.
Yeah.
I was
just
confusing the two separate ideas
completely.
Shema,
it's not considered. I agree. You can fulfill your obligation of Shema without saying Shema Esrei. Right. You can fulfill Shema Esrei without saying Shema. Right. I'm saying, in strategy, I'm saying that my problem is in strategy, it makes sense by the Shemek Kula L'Sila. I'm not saying you need Shema to say Sila. I'm saying, once I need to do both, it makes sense why I'm Magdim Shema, because if I prove to God that I'm sincere and that I want to work for Him, there's a better chance to answer my tefillah. That's my whole point.
Right, I would say that I think most people have the perception that Shema is considered a tefillah.
No, yeah, that's my whole point. That it's not prayer. It's right, preservation. Yeah.
You make one big mistake that we should be calling to come on Shabbat morning to speak to the Kahal.
Same thing to the choir.
So what's
the Shemoshe?
What?
I thought
the Shemoshe is not the one.
That's crazy.
Or the theme, that's
yeah. What happened. Yeah. I think Shemoshe is the Gonim, they might sing that every day. It's only Shabbat. There's yeah. No hope by the Gonim. You got to shorter.
Why?
What?
Why? What's the reason?
Yeah, because they're a little more realistic. Keep out of work. You keep on adding things, so they keep. Like, say yes, and say that, then it takes too long, and then you lose focus. Yeah, sometimes the quality over quantity. All the posthumous critics, you know, it's quality over quantity. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming.
There's still food outside.
There's still food outside.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Right? Yeah, that's him, okay.